Now we're going to switch gears and show you how to use the Watchtower book. My friend, the Watchtower Society has given us a tremendous tool, one of the best tools we could possibly use in this knowledge book. If a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, they want to use this book. It's the most wonderful way to witness that you can. Now, there are certain things that are necessary to witness to a Jehovah's Witness long, and that's the reason for my book. This book here is to tell you how to get a Jehovah's Witness to come back over a long period of time. There are some few things in here that are very necessary, and I have even some additional help. And by the way, if you bought my book before and you don't have the additional help, come by and I'll give them to you on the whole thing is what you have to do. There are several things that you have to do in order to get a Jehovah's Witness. You have to get a commitment that they will come back. If you don't commit, get a commitment that they're going to come back over a long period of time, you're stuck. But you can do that because they want to study this book for 6 months. I know that. You see what I mean? And I get them a commitment to study for at least 6 months out of the book, and they just love to do it, and that's what. Otherwise, you'll get them two or three times, and you lose them. You just begin to get them thinking, you back your head against the wall, and they're gone. Okay, another thing is a very, very big secret is the same person or people always come. Don't ever let them change on you. Tell them when you begin, I don't care who you send because they're all funky. They all know the same thing, so it's okay. I don't care who you send. I wish they would send the best person so there'd be a little bit of a challenge for me. I like a challenge. These people are so... I was dealing with a head elder one time. All he could say, I don't know. I mean, give me something more than that is what you want to do. But don't ever let them change on you. Oh, and if you stick to your guns, they won't. If somebody different comes, you say, go home, bring the original people back. That's not fair for you. I'm not playing a game. I'm serious. They're playing a game. I'm not. And so that is a must. You have to do it. Don't you ever make any exceptions. Okay? Because that's very important. Now, I always start with giving my testimony. I always say, before we begin, let's get to know each other better. You tell me why you became a Jehovah's Witness, and I will tell you why I became what I became. Did you notice what I said? I did not say why I became a Christian, because they're already prejudiced against Christians. I don't want to know it. I want to show them what a Christian is before I tell them. And I tell them, and by the way, listen to what they say. Boy, I can really, whenever they say that why they became a Jehovah's Witness, now with one man, he studied for 2 or 3 years, oh, tremendous testimony, and I can work on it. I usually take between half an hour to 40 minutes to give my testimony of how from the age of 6 I began to search for something that would satisfy, and praise God, at the age of 14 I found Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have a captivated audience there, quietly, there's no offense out there. I have them sitting on the edge of the couch. I mean, literally, they are just eager, eating on every word, and I pull it in. And I do not preach, I talk. I have given my testimony to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm sure, over 100 of them. I have never, ever had one of them stop me. Never stop. My friends, if you can't do any more, you can stop. You've got a captivated audience. And it's thrilling. And I'll tell you, I can't talk about Jesus for half an hour without you realizing that Jesus is real. That Jesus means something to me. That there's a change in my life. And I have a purpose on the thing. And I let them know that Jesus is real. You know, when you talk to Jehovah's Witness, okay, let's get to the... Everything's for function, right? But you can't talk about Jesus that way. You've got to take... Because Jesus is real and alive and going on to him. And then what you have to do, again, build a relationship. I spend, if I possibly can, half of my time talking about personal things. It is not a waste of time. It is not because they join because they had an emotional need, and you begin to treat them as a human being with dignity that they have worth. And you know, as a Jehovah's Witness, because everybody squeals and everybody else, you can't talk about stuff, right? Let them talk about you. I have a housewife that's dealing, and this Jehovah's Witness has been coming for a while, and she's telling this housewife about the problem she has at the job that she works at. Well, why in the world should you do that? I'm dealing with a Mormon businessman who is the president of a company. I know that he has a lot of problems. We spend time talking because he don't have anybody else to listen, wants to listen about all his problems. You see, so listening, so you're building communication. And I'll tell you, when you build communications with a person, witnessing is entirely different. Because you have a respect in the poor is what you're going to do. And then you have to teach them how to think. You know this. You see what I mean? And that's the reason I start with the heart, not with the head. If you start with the head, you're going to lose. But you see, the heart is open. And as I begin to make relationship, then the head begins. And this is the difference with our head. I start and I ask thought-provoking questions. The seed of doubt is in the question, not in the answer. I don't care how you answer me. That's not. I drop the seed of doubt in the question. For instance, this is a question that Jehovah's Witnesses. Would you please tell me why consistently over the past 25 years, why 50% of the Jehovah's Witnesses leave? Now, they do. It's simple to prove. You take the January the 1st watchtower. You figure out the baptisms and everything. Very simple. They're not aware of the fact. If you'd ask them how many people leave, they'd probably tell you 1%. But I asked the question, I planted the seed that 50% of the people leave. And later on, they're sitting in the hall. You know, I haven't seen the Joneses for a while. You know, the Smiths haven't been here for a while. You know, the Browns. Boy, a lot of people have left. You see what I got? I didn't have to argue. But you see, this is what I'm trying to do. Plant seeds of doubt. And I'm just asking a question, and I take it from a positive approach. I said, look, I want to understand your organization. So please help me understand your organization. Now, I said it. They didn't quite hear that, but they don't like to talk about the organ, but they heard it. You see what I mean? So I said, explain this to me. Help me out. How do I understand this, you see? And so I begin to work it, and gradually as I begin to think, but you see, I'm dropping seeds of doubt. And as I drop seeds of doubt, they will begin to bloom. I'll tell you a pastor's secret. When I was a pastor in Japan, what I wanted 5 years from now, I just began to drop little seeds in my sermon. Just little seeds. And you know, down the road, somebody would come up in my church and they'd say, well, what do you think about this idea? I said, maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe we should put that in practice. Now, I didn't tell them I planted the seed. It came from them. You see what I mean? And if you let them come in, and I don't know about you, but I'm awful stubborn. And I'm not going to give in. Well, you're going to have to really argue me out. But you see, if I come to the conclusion that I'm wrong, I might change. And I want the Jehovah's Witness to understand by getting them to think. And if you get them to think, they can't think. And they will come to the conclusion that it's wrong and not you're talking them out of it is what you have to do. And by the way, only take one thing at a time. It only takes one thing to crack. And I used to bombard them with everything. I made a big mistake. Because they can't think one thing at a time. That's all that's enough. That's plenty with them. Go slow. I can't emphasize this enough. Get lots of calls from all over because of my book. People deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I have to pull them down. Listen, you're going to be hidden in here for a long time. Not a month or something. You're going to be, take your time. Lay your foundation well is what you have to do in the thing. And like I said, always ask, never tell. If I tell you something, you can listen to me, you can cut me off. But if I ask you a question, Roy, I have a question for you. You have to listen. You see what I mean? And make them think. And sometimes you'll get some of the dumbest, stupidest answers you ever did hear in your life. I mean, they're really not answers, they're responses. But be patient and teach them how to do. And then, do not answer questions. They are great at asking trick questions, is what they want to do and how that they work in it. Now, what you can do is, with this book, the knowledge book on it, I have taken and gone through this knowledge book. I have 68 pages of questions on the book to go along with this, paragraph by paragraph, to tell you how to do them. The main purpose of my book is to ask questions, is how to work it. Okay, they have come, and by the way, I let them talk me into it a little bit. I'm not too over anxious. And I get them to commit that they're going to come back. And so I'm reading their book. I'm doing exactly what they want me to do. And so because I'm reading their book, you see what I mean? You've broken down tension. I don't have to fight. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, are great at jumping around. You can keep them to one subject. You see what I mean? And there's a wonderful way that you can use this for the book. And by the way, in the book, Approaching Jehovah's Witnesses for Love, $9, I have the first four chapters here, and then here's the rest of it. If you have bought a book previously without it in the revised edition, I have the whole question here. And then what I've done with it, You know, there's a lot of material out there, and I have a library of almost every one of their books. But you know, it's hard to get it to them, right? Very difficult for them to sell. I heard of one guy, Jehovah's Witness came, he brought 500 pages of documentation, slammed them on the table, and said, "Where do we begin?" Well, you know where they began? He began going out the door. You see what I mean? Okay. I have gone through here on 30 subjects, almost every major subject you will have in that they're changes. There are different false prophecies, and everything is going through, and they will be covered in here is what they will do. Now, what is happening is, what I do is, if they realize you know too much, they don't like to talk to you. So you have to play a little bit dumb. But you see, everything that is born is because I read their book. You follow me? For instance, I say like this. You're reading in there, and they talk about Christ come back in 1914. I say, just a minute. It seems to me that I read or heard somewhere that they used to teach that Christ came back in 1874. They said, no. Well, I'm not. I just heard. Let me do some investigating. You see what I did? Okay, I've got it in here. You see what I mean? I heard that somewhere along the line they used to forbid vaccinations. I don't know anything about it. Well, we got it back here. You see what I mean? I heard that. They said that Christ is really going to come back October the 1st, 1914. Well, okay, and I got it here. You see what I mean? And you can be born because of that, and slowly you do it. They ask you where you get it. You don't know what you ask a question like that for. I said, what are libraries for? Huh? What are libraries for? I don't tell them it came from my library or from a private library. And it's not apostate material. I'm not an apostate, okay? Not an apostate. And you can use this material here, and about everything you will need is in this whole section. Here is what you've done. And what I've done, I've gone through. I have a whole package, the book and the material from the knowledge book and the packet. And I have a new little booklet here, 20 questions, important questions of Jehovah's Witness. We'll get all for $23. It's a special deal that we have it. And I would advise you to get it. I've got many people that are using it. They're all out there working on it, and it's a tremendous way to witness for them. And they played the tool in their hand. Now, you can start off with this book. I mean, I just love this book. This is a book here, and you start with this picture. You're all familiar with it, okay? And going on with it. And I say to them, you know, you said, and they usually say this, that we live in a world of sin and wickedness, corruption and crime. How do you get from our present-day situation to here? You see what I mean? How do you get from here? So I want to know where you're going. It seems to me that the goal of this book is to get people so that they can go on to the new earth. Well, I would just like to know the process first. What is the process that you have to go through to get onto this new earth? And I said, you know, does something just go poof and we just jump from here over to here? Well, they'll say, well, no, it's not quite like that. But you've heard of Armageddon, haven't you? Oh, Armageddon. Yeah, I think I've heard of that word. Well, tell me about it. Well, before this new earth comes, there's going to be a lot of destruction. Oh, I said, well, tell me about this destruction and what is going on. So I pull them out, and if you pull them enough, they will have to say everybody's going to be destroyed except Jehovah's Witnesses. So you work on it. I have to do it faster. So I said, just a minute. So I said, before this comes, the first thing you have to do is what? Armageddon. So when Armageddon, they have pictures here that show you of buildings falling over. And we all know since Oklahoma City. And I said, so first you have to watch these buildings fall down, people be crushed, and people are screaming. And then you've got earthquakes. And I know what earthquakes is like in Japan. And here's a mother walking along. The baby falls into the earthquake. And the baby says, Mommy, Mommy! And the mother, Mommy, Mom! My daughter, my father! And things like that. There's people in fires burning up. And there's dead bodies floating down the river, you see. And then whenever people don't die like that, you know they're going to take out their swords and kill each other. I don't know what they're going to do. Japan, we're okay. We got swords. We have to sharpen them. But anyway, they're going to shoot people in America. So I said, before this comes, I said, this is the first thing you have to do? Well, yes. I said, boy, that doesn't sound very appealing to me. And I said, you mean the lucky people survive? And you know, death is just falling asleep. There's no punishment in. So the wicked people, they just fall asleep, you know. And Nothing, and the Jehovah's Witness helped it. Okay, then you got, what, almost 6 billion dead bodies. What do you do with them? Well, if they know the theology, worm and birds are going to eat them up. I said, no, wait a second, just a minute. So I said, you got to stand around, and you got to watch worms and birds eat up 6 billion dead bodies? I don't know what this means to you, but over in Japan, we don't have undertakers. And the pastor, we cremate the bodies. When they bring the bodies in, I had to take and pick them up physically and put them in casket, wood caskets. And then if you keep them for 3 days, after 1 day, they'll become to be putrefied, and you have to learn how to put dry ice in them to keep them from smelling too much. And I learned how to put dry ice, and I'll tell you, it's no fun. No fun with dead bodies. But how would you like to stand around and watch? Have you ever seen a few birds pecking at a dead deer or something? Gruesome. And here we have to stand around and watch all these doing. Well, that's really what to do. And by the way, don't say Jehovah's going to help us, because their book said the first thing you have to do is clean up the old rubbish. Okay? That's what they tell you to do. And so then I said, well, whew, boy, I mean, that's tough. But what are you going to do with these fat worms and birds? You don't have man-eating worms and birds in paradise, do you? Where are you going to get rid of them? I mean, you can't stack them up. What are you going to do with them? Well, they're going to be pretty fat. And then you have dead bones. My friend, I still don't like skeletons. I just don't like them, and I don't even like to see pictures of Halloween. I don't like skeletons. So they got to bury them. And their theology says they got to spend 7 pathetic months burying bones. I figured it out one time. Each Jehovah's Witness only has to bury 1,250 people. Then after that, we got to get rid of these destroyed buildings. Now, remember that there's been earthquakes, fires, floods, and everything, so there's no communication, there's no gasoline, there's no trucks, there's no communication. There's going to be a pollution-free society. Okay, so you have to have a pollution-free society. So in a pollution-free society, without bulldozers and trucks and birds, what are you going to do with all of these buildings? Huh? I kept asking Jehovah's Witness what they're going to do. And the only thing I could figure out was wheelbarrow and shovel. And later on, I really did find in their magazine that says they show them with wheelbarrow and shovels. And I don't know, I'm from outside of Trenton. I'll tell you, you take and just try to get rid of that with wheelbarrow and shovels. Where are you going to put the rubble? You can't dump in the Delaware River. That's no good. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. I had a great one. I wish I had more time to. I was in Brooklyn one time, and I was going through their headquarters, and I was just talking to one of the men on the tour about, he worked up at Walk Hill, and I was talking about the new earth, and I was talking, how do you get rid of all of these destroyed buildings? And we just happened to pass a great big picture window in the building looking all over Brooklyn with all these 25 big story buildings, all these buildings. I said, how do we get rid of all these? I couldn't have had a more beautiful place. He just, I don't know. My friend, I've torn down buildings. And boy, I tore down one building one time, and I was dirty, and it was a lot of hard work. Just one building, that's all I did, you know what I mean, and the thing. But they got to get rid of all. And then after you get it, everybody's going to be farmers, and so you got to get a foot of topsoil. Now, where do you get a foot of topsoil from? Huh? You can't get it from the farmer's field, because they need it out there. You see? Where are you going to, and how are you going to get it with wheelbarrow and shovel? You know, I mean, that sounds a lot of work. And my friend, I have used this. I have used this with Jehovah's Witnesses. And you can use it, and you have them run over the whole thing. And then I go through over again. I go through the thing 3 or 4 times, and I just keep emphasizing all of these things and on it. And then they got to build houses. Well, where do you get lumber from? We don't have any lumber on the East Coast. We don't have any hardware stores or anything. Where are you going to get it? It all comes to the West Coast, but we don't have any, remember, trains, no boats, no nothing. Where is it going to come from? And the whole thing. But then you can get them to say, and this is where the crux of the whole thing, I say to them, as I understand, you say the wages of sin is death. So when a person dies, he pays the wages of his sins. So all of these people who have died before 1914, And then they will be raised up, and they will be partially perfect. They weren't perfect when they died. They won't be completely perfect when they raise up. But they have paid for their sins. But I said, you as a Jehovah's Witness expect to live through Armageddon and do not die. So when do you pay for your sins? Good question. So I said, I don't understand it. I said, so therefore, when you go into the new earth, it's going to be just as sinful as it is now. And they have to admit, well, you got to understand that this is a gradual process. This beautiful new earth that they promise you is not overnight. And you only takes 1,000 years to become perfect. And I say to them, well, let me understand this. This is something I don't understand. These people who have died and have paid the wages for their sin are more perfect. You have not died. You have not paid your wages of sin. So I said, actually, you're still wicked. These are righteous. So I said, you've got the wicked teaching the righteous. Well, that's pretty hard for them to answer. I've never found anybody can answer. And by the way, when you get a job when stumped, you know you're doing good, right? And I've got them stumped. They don't have an answer on the whole thing. And then about this time, you know, you might have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus and heaven. I'd say, I think I would want to go to heaven to be a perfect place. And you can get some openings and the whole situation, how you can working on into this other thing. I wish I had more time how to tell about this. There's one they taught about the rich man and Lazarus and taking in knowledge. Oh, brother, if I had time, I could take all of the different things. But you have a beautiful tool right here and working on it. I was using this one time, another one, the Paradise Book with an elder, and he got uptight. And I said, just a minute. I said, whose book are we using here? I said, who suggested we use it? He was. I said, didn't I tell you before I started I'd have lots of questions? He said, yes. I said, what's the problem? He had to back off and had to back off to the situation, and he had to pull off of the whole situation is what he had to do. And that's what he's doing. So, my friend, we've got a tool here. We can use it. It's offensive, and it drops down the whole thing, and they've got... You can cover everything once. Now, by the way, this is a very subtle book. It doesn't tell you the truth on the whole thing. It's the most subtle one that I think I've ever read of all the Jehovah's Witness books. But if you know what you're doing, you can witness. And I have many people using this. And this is just for the average person, not for scholars. I just want everybody, the average, everyday person, to be able to do it. And I've tried to take the work out. It took me 20 years to figure this out. And I've tried to boil it down as easy as I can. So we trust it. So I'll be back there on the table. And I have it. We have the special deal on it if you want it. And I trust you will take it and you will use it. And any time that you want to call on me, I'm always available. And I'll be glad to help you. So thank you so much. We appreciate your kindness.